Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Thursday, December the 20th, 5 days away from Christmas, really four, because I think most of us get into the spring the Christmas mood pretty much on the 24th. So we're getting very close to the big holiday, and I hope that you're doing everything in the spirit of the season. I hope you're buying all your gifts, planning all your trips, and everything else that comes in this wonderful time of the year. Today we're going to talk about this debate on border wall. It certainly changed today, this debate. I mean, we got up with one idea, and now here we are at the end of the day with a totally different idea of what's going to happen. So we'll get into that as well. I have a post over at the American Thinker this morning about what Major League Baseball is thinking of doing with Cuban players, the ones who are playing in Cuba. And I don't like the idea, frankly. I understand why the Cuban players want to play here, but I just don't think this is the best way to do it. And I hope the Major League Baseball will reconsider the idea. I don't think it's a done deal yet, from what I understand, but I just don't think it's a good idea. But let me begin by talking about Syria and the apparent decision by President Trump to pull troops out of Syria. The problem with this decision is that I don't think it was presented correctly by President Trump. I wish that he had presented this to the American people, maybe through a speech, or he had maybe explained to us how he was going to do it. Had he said, for example, look, you know, we're going to do this, but it's not going to be overnight. It's going to be over a period of time. And let's say he had consulted the allies and so on. But I think to do it this way, it sure sounds to me like this is something that he wants to do, but not necessarily something he consulted other people with. And I just think that's a bad idea. Pulling troops out of Syria is not the end of the world. Our troops in Syria are not really fighting. This is not an ongoing war. The troops there are basically more holding territory and sort of protecting other groups. So in that respect, I don't have a problem with American troops being there. I do have a problem, though, with pulling them out like this and leaving a vacuum. I think President Trump needs to reconsider this. And maybe the next time, just be a little bit more careful how he makes an announcement of this nature. There are lots and lots of things up in the air when we're talking about Syria. Now, I have never been one who believes in a land war in Syria, because the truth of the matter, you don't even know who you're fighting, who's the good guy or the bad guy. There's a lot of conflicting interest in Syria, and you don't want to get on the wrong side, nor do you want to get yourself in the middle of a civil war. So I think having a couple of thousand troops in there just to keep the order, just to serve as some kind of an insurance policy, I don't have a problem with that. And so that's why I don't think they should be removed. Now, I do believe, though, that whether we keep troops in Syria or not, that we should have the leverage, or we should have, or make it very clear to Assad that if he were to use chemical gas again on his people, that we would be willing to attack him. But we can attack him without having to have troops there. So the troops are not necessary for that purpose, although you do need sometimes advanced groups and all of that to tell you where the bombs are. Or, you know, there's nothing like intelligence from people on the ground. You cannot get everything from a satellite. But the bottom line is that I hope that the president will reconsider this move, and I hope that the next time he'll explain something like this a little bit better to the American people, because I'm confused with what he's doing, and I'm kind of confused, President. I mean, I'm confused with the idea of dropping this on the American people and the Senate and many of the military the way that he did it. He should have consulted people like Lindsey Graham. He should have called in people like that and said, hey, look, what do you think of this? You want to do this? Because the way that President Trump did it, he's exposing himself, frankly, to a lot of the criticism that we're seeing. So hopefully he will reconsider this decision, because I just think it's a very dangerous thing to do, to leave a country. I mean, we learned that in Iraq. President Trump or President Obama left Iraq in the summer of 2011 or at the end of 2011. And frankly, we were back in Iraq. By the time President Obama left office, there were 5,000 troops in Iraq. I mean, we kept sending troops back in. because it was a mistake to take him out. So let's not make that same mistake again. Well, the issue of the border wall, what a back and forth that has been. We got up this morning thinking that President Trump had pretty much, I wouldn't say cave in, but had pretty much accepted the idea that he was not going to sign a continuing resolution that did not include funding for the wall. And that's pretty much the way it was this morning. Now, I even tweeted this morning that I didn't think that was such a bad plan for President Trump, in the sense that he was going to go get his wall by looking for the money somewhere else. And that was going to put the Democrats in a weaker position, because they were going to give away the leverage, the only leverage that they have in this whole thing, which is basically the funding of the border wall, meaning we'll give you the border wall funding, but you got to give us something. You know, other than that, the Democrats don't really have any other leverage on President Trump, because the Republicans have the Senate. The only thing the Democrats have is the House. So I didn't think it was the end of the world that he decided to basically sign the continuing resolution and wait until February to have this fight all over again. But then in the middle of the day, apparently he was persuaded by some Republicans who went over to the White House to go ahead and veto the bill, which he said, okay, I will do. So now we're back to square one. This is where we were, what can I say? This is where we were, I guess, for weeks, that he's not going to sign the bill unless it includes the $5 billion for the border wall funding. There are a couple of technical problems here for the Republicans. One of them is that many Republicans have already left town. So, you know, they had 240, and they need 218 who are still part of the House of Representatives. So they're going to have to make sure that 22 are still there, the ones who apparently are not coming back. Let's hope that some of those guys are still there, because they're going to need 218 votes to get this thing through. Once they get it through, it's over to the Senate, and then they can deal with it later. So I do think the Republicans will get the votes, assuming the people are in town, and hopefully these guys will come back if they have to come back. So if the president wants to have a fight over the border wall funding, I'm okay with him. I will support him on that. But again, once again, you know, I wish he was a bit more organized in how he did these things, because he could have said a week ago, he did say a week ago, I'm not going to sign anything unless it has border wall funding, and then he backed out, which is, I think, confusing, very confusing for those of us who are trying to support him. Just like with Syria, where he was a bit abrupt, I wish the president had been more clear on this, and I wish he had said, no, I'm not going to sign anything unless it includes the wall funding. And I wish he had stuck to that policy rather than back off as he did in the last 24 hours, and now we're coming back to the position that he had before. I just think it's a little confusing for those of us out here who support the president and support his objectives. We're going to take a little break. I want you to hear from my friend Carlos, and we'll be right back.
This is Carlos Guerrero Harpiz. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And we have a link to Carlos on the show information. You can click on that. It'll take you to his schedule. And we also have a link for my friend Duke Machado, who's a car dealer here in Texas. If you're looking for a car, give Duke a call. A couple of things from on this day in history. On this day in 1957, that would make it 61 years ago today, Elvis Presley went over to the military office, or to the U.S. Army office, in his hometown, and accepted his military draft. He had gotten a telegram or something, and he showed up today, and he signed up. So Elvis Presley was officially drafted on this day in 1957. I think he finally went in sometime in 1958. So the interesting thing about when Elvis was in the service, he went to Germany, by the way, and that's where he eventually met Priscilla, the woman he married in 1967. But when he was in the service, or right before he was drafted, or right before he went to do his military service, they recorded like a bunch of music. And while he was in the service, those 2 years that he was in the service, there was always a song on the radio. I mean, there were plenty of singles and plenty of LPs that came out while he was in the draft, so he didn't miss a beat when he was in doing his military service, because, you know, they had plenty of stuff at RCA, plenty of songs to put out while he was away. On this day in 1989, that would make it, 23 years ago or whatever, 29 years ago, I guess, 29 years ago, the United States invaded Panama. And this was to remove Manuel Noriega, who was arrested when we invaded Panama. Of course, he had been caught up in drug trafficking, and we went in, we took him out, and that was the end of that. That was a very successful military operation, to say the least, on this day in 1989. Well, I mentioned that this morning I have a post over at the American Thinker regarding the Major League Baseball Union, or the Major League Baseball Association, and Cuba. For years, many Cuban players have made it to the major leagues, but only after they defected. Usually the way it would work out is they would defect to another country, or they would escape Cuba, they go to another country, and then from there they would negotiate with an American baseball team. There's plenty of examples in the major leagues right now of people like that. You know, Puig, who's playing for the Dodgers, Abreu, who's playing for the White Sox. I mean, just about every team has one Cuban player in their organization who's gone through this process of defecting, and then you come to the United States and you sign up here with a Major League Baseball team. What they're considering doing right now is negotiating directly with what they call the Cuban Baseball Federation, which is a government agency that manages baseball in Cuba, sort of like the MLB, except that MLB is a private organization and the Cuban Baseball Federation is just a government agency. So what the Cubans are proposing is that if a Cuban or an American team wants to, let's say, recruit a Cuban baseball player, they would pay a fee to the Cuban Baseball Federation, and then that player would sign with the United States. The problem is, this is not like with the Japanese players. You may recall that several times a Japanese player has come to the United States, and the Major League team will pay the Japanese team a fee, and then the player comes over here, he signs a contract, and he's a free man. He can sign or re-sign contracts with the Major League team. We had an example like that here in Texas with Yu Darvish. Just recently, Ohtani, the player with the Angels, came in on that basis. Well, the difference, of course, is that the Texas Rangers or the California Angels, these are private organizations doing business with private Japanese teams. So it's just two private organizations doing business with each other. And the ball player is not subjected to any government control in either country. Well, that's not the way it's going to be in Cuba. What Cuba is looking for is just another source of cash. The Cuban Baseball Federation will say, well, here's a player, pay us a fee. That fee goes to the government. It doesn't go to a private organization. It doesn't go to a private baseball team. It goes right to the government. And it's a way of the Cuban government, in a sense, using its players to bring in cash for the government. That's all that it is. The family of this player in Cuba is not going to see any of this money. The money goes directly to the Cuban Baseball Federation, which is the same thing as giving it to the government. So I really hope that Major League Baseball, especially the Players Union, does not accept this. I understand it's close to being accepted, and I hope it's never accepted. But what I would like to see, frankly, is the Cuban players being able to come to the United States on their own and to negotiate directly with an American baseball team the same way any other player around the world gets to do. And then the player and the team negotiate directly one-on-one, and the player can keep whatever the contract is. Right now, that's not the deal. If they do a deal with the Cuban Baseball Federation, in a sense, they're working for the Cuban government, but they're being paid by an American baseball team. And that's just a very bad idea, and something that I'm hoping that the Players Union will not support this. I'm hoping the Players Union will say, no, we're not going to do that to Cuban players, to have them come over here. They're not really free people. They're not coming over here and being free men who can come to the United States and negotiate a contract. They're still going to be subjected to Cuba and the dictatorship in Cuba. So I'm hoping that this never actually happens, and that it's just one of the many, many ideas that people talk about but never actually materialize and become reality. Let's hope so, because I just don't think we should be subsidizing the Castro regime at all, not whatsoever. Well, thank you very much for listening. Have yourself a wonderful day, and Merry Christmas. I hope you're getting ready for it, because I am. Bye-bye, everybody. This is Silvio Cantu in Dallas.